Hi, I'm Clayton McKee with Traffica Europe Radio, and I am so happy to be back with you all this week to go back to some regularly programmed broadcasting of our podcast after the release of our most recent issue of the journal, Recrudescence. We officially published Recrudescence last week on April 12th, and we are pleased to once again be publishing an amazing collection of authors and translators in this issue. All of these stories came together around the idea of recrudescence, or becoming raw again, starting afresh. Each one of them supplies a wonderful take on some aspect of starting over or renewal. We include amazing authors and translators, such as two pieces of children's literature, both of them translated from Faroese into English. The first one coming from Daniel Hoydal, illustrated by Annika Orabu. The second being from Bardur Oskarsson, translated by Marita Thompson. We also have works from Halina Petrosanyak, translated from the Ukrainian by Jeff Cockin. We have the wonderful Miklos Vamos and the Hungarian translator Agi Bori. We have an original English composition, Little Fluff, by Catherine Hoffman. Poems by the Lithuanian-American Rimas Uskieris. A story from Galicia by Eva Moreira, translated by Lindsay Semel. A Bulgarian story by Jordan Yavkov, translated by Teodora Gondeva. A wonderful piece of detective fiction written by Johan Harstad, translated from Norwegian by David Smith. All of these stories take on a wonderful aspect of recrudescence, and we hope you all can go and enjoy that live now on our website, www.trafficeurope.org/recrudescence. Along with our regularly programmed podcast, we will also be getting back into our membership bonuses related to our podcast content. So, for any of our audiobook listeners, you'll be able to go in and hear our latest literature from Recrudescence being read out loud for your pleasure. For any of our e-readers, since the publication of the journal issue, we have since given access to you to go and enjoy our digital zine version of the journal. I highly recommend that if you're interested in looking at the zine, or if you're interested in becoming an audio listener so you can listen to these stories being read aloud, go to patreon.com/trafficeurope to find out more about our memberships. Before we fully get into Recrudescence, we have one last episode in our essential new literature of lesser-known languages of Europe. This conversation is quite special to me. It was such a fulfilling conversation, and I can't wait to share it with you all. This episode is with Basque author Itziar Oborda. I was fortunate enough to translate her story from the French translation that she made of the Basque, and this interview was conducted fully in French language. Throughout the interview, you'll be hearing me speaking English. You'll then hear Itziar speaking French to give her answers, followed by the voice of Sabrina Canelli, who will be voicing the English translation that I made of Itziar's words. We try to keep interviews bilingual when we have the capacity to translate them. And so we hope that if you are an English-speaking listener or a French-speaking listener, that you're able to get something extra out of this by hearing Basque, French, and English all in one episode. I want to give a special thanks to Sabrina Canelli for being the voice of many authors and translators on this podcast over the years. And I would like to give a very, very special thank you to Itziar for the amazing conversation and the amazing work that she does in Basque language and literature. So I will attempt to say this in Basque for you, Itziar, and I'll also translate it into French in case my Basque is not good enough. Mila eske el karisketa soregaria gatik. Merci beaucoup pour cette conversation qui était superbe. Merci, merci. Without further ado, let's get into today's episode. We'll first hear Itziar introducing herself to all of you.
Eh bien, je suis Itziar Oborda, c'est mon pseudonyme d'écriture. En fait, je suis née à Bayonne et Je suis d'une famille de paysans, d'agriculteurs du Pays Basque intérieur. J'ai fait des études d'agriculture, d'anglais et d'histoire. Voilà, tout ça. Et ensuite, j'ai passé ma vie à travailler à la poste, à Paris, à Mauléon et puis à Bayonne. En même temps, j'ai écrit. Tout le temps, j'écris depuis l'âge de 8-10 ans. C'est comme un vice que j'ai depuis quasiment mon enfance. Et en basque, j'écris depuis l'âge de 14-15 ans. Et je publie, voilà, parce que j'avais perdu la langue basque. Et puis ensuite, je l'ai récupérée par mon propre force.
My name is Ixtaro Borda. That's my pen name. I was born in Bayonne, and I'm from a family of farmers and agriculturalists from the interior Basque country. I completed studies in the agriculture, English, and history. I worked at the Poste, the French post office, for most of my life in Paris, then in Moulins, and then Bayonne. While doing that, I also wrote. I've written since I was 18 years old. It's like a vice that I've had basically since I was a child. I wrote in Basque from the age of 14 or 15. I lost the Basque language and then I later relearned it on my own will.
Et donc j'écris, à partir du moment où j'ai récupéré la langue, je me suis mise à écrire et ça ne s'est jamais arrêté jusqu'à présent. Et après que dire, oui, j'écris aussi bon, j'écris des romans policiers, je dirais, plutôt détectives. Avec Amaya Speldoy comme détective rurale et lesbienne bascophone. Mais aussi j'écris de la poésie, beaucoup de poésie. J'ai commencé avec la poésie. Sûrement que je finirai avec la poésie aussi, ma vie. J'écris beaucoup d'articles aussi dans les journaux du Pays Basque, des textes pour les chanteurs d'ici. J'écris tout ce qui peut s'écrire. Et ces dernières années, j'écris aussi un petit peu en français. Et on peut trouver en français, par exemple, L'éloge de la pluie, un petit livre à 5 € dans une collection que Kenneth White avait inaugurée, Faire face. Et voilà, tout ça, c'est ma vie d'écrivaine qui est devenue ma vie d'écrivaine depuis que je ne travaille plus à la poste, puisque je viens de prendre ma retraite.
So I wrote in Basque from the moment that I recuperated the language. It hasn't stopped since. After that, what to say? I write crime novels, more so detective fiction, with Amaya Speldoyil as the Basque-speaking rural lesbian detective. I also write poetry, a lot of poetry. I started with poetry, and I'll also end my life with poetry. I also write a lot of articles in Basque newspapers and various texts from singers from there. I pretty much write everything that can be written. Recently, I've also written a bit in French. In French, you can find my work in L'éloge de la pluie, which is a small book that costs about 5 euros in a collection stated by Kenneth Wright called Faire face. That's my life as a writer and what has become of my life as a writer since I no longer work for the post office and am in retirement.
Amazing. I hope that writing is better than the post office in any case, or at least I imagine it is.
Ouais, mais... Ouais, non, mais disons que j'ai eu besoin des deux.
Ouais.
J'ai besoin des deux, j'ai besoin de la poste pour pouvoir vivre économiquement, et puis j'ai besoin de l'écriture pour pouvoir vivre, je dirais, intellectuellement, mais c'est tellement lié, c'est tellement l'un dans l'autre que je fais pas la différence entre les deux. J'ai besoin,
ouais.
de tout.
Yes, but I definitely need both of these things. I needed the post office to be able to live financially. Then I needed writing to be able to live. I would say intellectually. But it's all quite connected. The one is the other. The one is in the other, and I don't really separate the two of them. I need them both.
Absolutely. Even if I poke fun at the post office, it's always important to have your personal stability, and that oftentimes lets creativity flow in ways that it wouldn't be able to otherwise, if you're forcing creativity to be able to live. So now you're writing in French and Basque. Are there any differences for you when you write in one language over the other?
Oui, je pense qu'il y a une différence parce qu'en basque, j'écris de façon un peu instinctive. C'est très intellectualisé, tout ce qu'on veut, mais c'est quand même dès le premier jet, je sais que c'est ce que je veux écrire et c'est la façon dont je veux écrire, je le sens. Tandis qu'en français, je dois encore beaucoup travailler pour arriver à cette écriture un peu instinctive, un peu lâche, un peu premier jet. Voilà. Je dois quand même travailler beaucoup pour faire du premier jet. Mais j'adore écrire dans les deux langues. Ça, il faut que je le dise. Parce que c'est deux cheminements différents et peut-être deux façons différentes aussi de dire ce que j'ai en moi et de partager avec mes lecteurs, soit francophones, soit bascophones. Ouais.
Yes. I think there is a difference. Because in Basque, I write in an instinctive way. It's perhaps a bit intellectualized, but from the very first word, I know what I want to write and how I want to write it. I feel it. While in French, I still need to do a work at it and make it become instinctual. Little by little, I let go. It takes me a while to get that instinct, but I love writing in both languages. I must say it's because it's two different paths and two different ways to express what's inside me and two different ways to share with my readers, whether French or Basque speaking.
You mentioned that you lost the Basque language and that you later returned to it. Can you talk a bit more about that? When did you lose the language and what was the path like to get it back?
Ouais, c'est un sacré traumatisme. Je crois que beaucoup de gens et d'écrivains, de chanteurs en langue régionale en France, en breton, en occitan, en corse, en catalan, vont vous raconter la même histoire. Jusqu'à 6 ans, à la maison, on parlait en basque uniquement. Et puis, il a fallu aller à l'école. Et à l'école, il était complètement interdit de parler en basque. Et ça fait qu'en quelques années, on a acquis le français, évidemment. On était les meilleurs en français dans la classe. Mais on a perdu la langue basque. Et puis, à un moment donné, comme j'avais un oncle à Paris, qui était bascophone et basquisant, et qui nous envoyait des disques qui sortaient à l'époque dans les années 70, les dictionnaires, des grammaires qui sortaient justement à cette époque-là. Voilà, je me suis décidée à récupérer la langue de ma tribu, et donc ça a été une récupération un peu sauvage par moi-même. Alors que maintenant, il y a des cours du soir, c'est un peu, entre guillemets, civilisé. Mais dans mon époque, il n'y avait pas tout ça. Et c'est peut-être pour ça que j'ai une utilisation un peu sauvage aussi de la langue, un peu libre et libertaire aussi un peu, parce que je l'ai appris de moi-même. Et c'est comme si je ne pouvais compter que sur moi quand j'écris en langue basque, ce qui n'est pas vrai. Hein, puisque d'une part, je reçois cet héritage linguistique et d'autre part, quand j'écris, je le transmets aussi à mes lecteurs et aux générations futures.
Yes, it's quite traumatic. I think that a lot of people, a lot of authors, singers in various regional languages in France, such as Breton, Occitan, Corsican, Catalan, etc. Many of these people will most likely tell you the same story. Until I was 6 years old, we only spoke Basque at home. Then, when I went to school, it was completely forbidden to speak in Basque. That meant that after a few years, we learned French, of course, and we were the best at French that we could be. However, we lost Basque. And then, at a later time, because I had Basque uncle in Paris who spoke Basque, he sent us the CDs that came out of the time in the 70s, different dictionaries and grammar books that also came at that time. So, like that, I decided to recuperate my truly native language, and it was a bit rough and tough recuperating of a language done by myself. Now, it's a bit different. There are evening classes. It's a bit, in quotes, more civilized. But when I was going through it, it didn't exist. That's maybe why my use of the language is a bit more rough as well. It's more of a free and libertarian use of the language. Partly because I learned it myself and I could only count on myself when I wrote in Basque, which isn't totally true. For one, I received a linguistic heritage and had some background already. And furthermore, when I write, I transmit a message to my readers and to future generations. So I really wasn't alone.
It's interesting that it gives a sense of freedom, especially in your writing, even if other people read it and other people may say things or critique things about it not being done in a certain way. What you're doing is leaving a new mark on the language, and I find that beautiful. I also believe that that story is quite common, unfortunately, in France and in many other places. When I was living in Provence, I took classes in Provençal with a lot of older people who were trying to recuperate their language. They had the same stories to tell, except that they didn't necessarily return to it alone. It's great to hear that Basque has, since your return to the language, seen the incorporation of night classes, classes in schools, and more publication and awareness.
En fait, quand on apprend ces langues qui ont été tellement dévalorisées, il faut oublier ce qu'on a appris, que ce sont des patois. En fait, ce sont des langues. Ce sont des langues, quand on parle de l'occitan, par exemple, c'est une langue phénoménale qui était une des premières langues écrites de l'Europe, même avant l'italien. Pétrarque venait en Provence pour apprendre le provençal et tout le style d'écriture littéraire des troubadours, des premiers... Voilà, ouais. On oublie tout ça quand on traite nos langues de patois.
Absolutely. In fact, when we learn one of these languages that has been devolved, we have to forget what has already been told to us, that it is a patois or dialect. In fact, they are languages that exist in and of themselves. When we speak Occitan, for example, it is a phenomenal language, which was one of the first ones to be written in all of Europe. That's even before Italian. Pétrarque came to Provence to learn Provençal and the literary style of the troubadours. All of these details get removed when a language is deemed a patois or dialect.
Certainly. It's as if French was the only thing that existed, even if we mark its true start with Molière, I believe it is.
Oui, ou avec Ronsard. Et de toute façon, Amaïs et Speldo, ils en parlent de ça. C'est un peu le fond de commerce d'Amaïs et Speldo, parce que le premier crime fondamental sur lequel elle enquête dans les 6 romans, c'est le crime de linguicide. Voilà, c'est un peu le premier.
Yes, or with Ronsard. In any case, Amaïa Espeldoy speaks about that. It's kind of the trademark of Amaïa Espeldoy, because the first crime that she investigates in the 6 novels of the crime is linguicide, or the murdering of a language. That one of the first ever stories I wrote about her.
Amazing. I would love to return to that once we get more into your writing, because that's extremely interesting. In terms of the Basque language, can you give us an idea about the language itself? Where is it primarily spoken? What are its roots? What is its status?
Alors, c'est la langue la plus ancienne d'Europe, qui reste encore sur la surface de l'Europe. C'est une langue non indo-européenne. On trouve ses traces dans l'épigraphie celte-ibère. En fait, ça doit être une langue pyrénéenne et de la péninsule ibérique. Voilà. Et c'est nous qui sommes chargés de la garder, de la conserver, de la faire vivre et de la faire évoluer. Au Pays Basque, il y a 2 zones au Pays Basque. Il y a le Pays Basque français, puis le Pays Basque espagnol. Au total, il doit y avoir 1 million de bascophones, nord et sud confondus. Ça a été très très longtemps des bascophones assez âgés, et ces dernières décennies, ça c'est en train de changer. Le bascophone type maintenant est devenu une jeune femme de 35 ans et qui a fait des études et qui habite en ville. Voilà, ça c'est le prototype de la bascophone des années 2020. Voilà.
Well, it's one of the oldest languages in Europe that remains today. It's a non-Indo-European language. Its roots can be found in Ibero-Celtic tradition. In fact, it is a language of the Pyrenees Mountains and the Iberian Peninsula. We are one who now keeps the language, conserves it, makes it live, and helps it evolve. In the Basque country, there are two zones. There's the French and Spanish Basque. Combining the two zones, there are probably 1 million people who speak the language. It used to be primarily older people, but that is now starting to change. The Basque prototype now is a young woman of 35 years old who is completing studies and living in a city. That being the main model since the 2000s and 2020s.
Il y a beaucoup de choses qui ont changé de la négation de ces langues, tant du côté français avec la patoisation, et puis en Espagne avec le franquisme, c'était interdit. Il y a beaucoup de choses qui ont changé. D'abord, l'enseignement de la langue basque s'est quasiment généralisé. En Pays Basque Nord, c'est 43% des élèves de toutes les écoles confondues qui ont un enseignement en langue basque, soit immersif, soit bilingue. Et en Pays Basque Sud, c'est tout le système public, autant en Navarre que dans la communauté autonome, qui se fait en langue basque. Il faut ajouter que la base se fait en langue basque, et puis ensuite on ajoute le français, l'espagnol, l'anglais, et au sud on ajoute l'espagnol et l'anglais le plus souvent. Ça fait que cette jeunesse qui arrive, qui est éduquée, finit à 20 ans à parler 4 langues, quasiment couramment.
There are a lot of things that have changed regarding the negotiation of these languages in both France, with it being relegated to a patios, and in Spain, when during Franco's reign. Basque was also forbidden. A lot has changed. Firstly, the teaching of Basque language is fairly generalized. In the Northern Basque country, there is 83% of students in all schools that receive an education in Basque, either immersive or bilingual. In Southern Basque country, it's the entire public system that gets an education. Even in Navarre, the autonomous community that has primarily uses Basque language, I must add, the base of the education is done in Basque. Then French is added, then Spanish, then English. In the South, they add Spanish, then English. That means that the young people who are educated end up speaking 4 languages at 20 years old and pretty much fluently.
That's truly incredible. I'm quite jealous, to be honest. In the United States, we don't do that much at all. We start with a language in high school. After 4 years, most people can barely say hello.
Ouais, mais aux États-Unis, bon, ça aussi c'est entre parenthèses, je crois que dans l'enseignement autochtone, des langues autochtones, il y a un peu ce système que nous avons nous. C'est-à-dire qu'on a un maternel. C'est la langue autochtone, le navajo, le lut, toutes ces langues. Et puis ensuite, on fait entrer les autres langues qui seront utiles aux jeunes dans l'avenir.
Ouais, c'est vrai.
Je crois que c'est comme ça, ouais.
Yeah, but the United States, the teaching of native languages, there is a similar system to what we have. That is to say that in elementary school, the native language that takes precedence. Then we slowly integrate the other languages that will be useful in the child's future.
Yes, that's very true, especially for indigenous languages. And I know that in Canada, there is much more support for indigenous languages, not only in the communities that are speaking them, but also on the national level in terms of translating of laws. And there's a lot of regulation in Canada for those types of things. If you happen to know any, could you give us some resources for learning Basque?
Il faut connecter le site Eusko-Jaurlaritza, le gouvernement basque. Là, il y a tous les renseignements. Voilà, ils ont un service particulier de politique linguistique, et je pense que là, il y aura tous les renseignements possibles et imaginables. Après, aux États-Unis, il y a à l'université de Reno, Nevada, il y a une voie d'enseignement en langue basque aussi, Voilà, peut-être pour les Américains, ce sera plus facile d'accéder à cette université-là. Et ici, ouais. Voilà. Et puis ici, en Pays Basque français, l'Office public de la langue basque s'occupe de répondre à toutes ces questions pour les gens d'ici et pour les gens d'ailleurs.
It's better to consult the Basque government's website. There is a ton of useful information and resources. They have a particular purpose, both political and linguistic, and I think that there's any and everything imaginable. In the United States, the University of Reno, Nevada offers Basque language program. Maybe for the Americans, that would be the easiest access. In France, in the Basque country, the Public Office of Basque Language is in charge of responding to questions for people here and even abroad.
Great. I'm sure many of us will find that useful. Let's change the topic a bit now to focus more on your writing. How do you approach writing? What are your inspirations? Are there any themes that you like to talk about when you're writing?
En fait, comme j'ai dit, j'écris un peu au feeling et à l'instinct. J'aime beaucoup cette immédiateté de l'écriture. Après, je travaille beaucoup le texte, mais j'essaie de lui garder ce côté un peu sauvage. Ensuite, j'aime bien aussi écrire pas que sur la langue basque et le Pays basque. Je pense que même Amaïs Peldoy, même si c'est écrit en basque, elle traite des sujets qui sont des sujets universels qui traverse le 21e siècle de part en part, et par exemple le néolibéralisme, la mondialisation, l'émigration, les amours multiples, la façon qu'on a de vivre tout seul, même si on est entouré, on vit tout seul, l'hyperconsommation, je traite tous ces sujets, j'aime bien. C'est peut-être le fait que j'ai une formation d'historienne, donc tout ça, ça me traverse et ça m'impacte complètement. J'écris, il y a que la langue qui change en fait. J'écris comme tous les écrivains qui écrivent en ce début du 21e siècle, avec des grandes interrogations et des peurs et aussi des quelques joies et des plaisirs d'écrire surtout et de partager l'écriture.
In fact, as I mentioned, writing is instinctual for me. I like writing whatever comes to mind. After I work the text a little bit, I try to keep the more intellectual or wild aspect. I also like to write about things that aren't just related to Basque language and the Basque country. I believe that even if sometimes is written in Basque, it deals with the topics that are universal in the 21st century. For example, neoliberalism, globalization, migration, polyamory, or even living a single life. Even if we are surrounded by people, we can live alone. I even discuss hyperconsumerization. I engage with all of these topics. It's possible that it's just because I have a background as a historian. All this comes through me and impacts me. It's not only the language that I change. In fact, I write like all authors who write in the beginning of the 21st century, with all of these big questions and fears and pleasures to write about and to share criticisms about.
There's definitely so much to engage with individually and socially as all of these lines cross. It's at the beginning of this chat that you mentioned that you write poems, and particularly at the moment. But have you written any other novels? Of course, you've written for singers and others that you've mentioned, and you've written the detective novels, particularly about Amaya Espeldoy, that we're discussing today. But is there anything else that you've engaged with or written about?
Oui, j'écris. J'ai commencé avec un roman scandaleux qui mélangeait la religion, la politique et la pornographie. Ça s'appelait Basilica, c'était en 1985, donc ça ne nous rajeunit pas. Là, je me moquais un peu beaucoup des projets de développement économique qui restaient très souvent dans l'ordre du discours et qui ne se réalisaient jamais. Je me moquais de ça. Après, j'écris des romans sur l'émigration, sur l'émigration qui traversent notre pays, en fait, hein, qui arrivent de l'Afrique, l'Espagne, Irun, Bayonne, et qui, c'est une voie de migration. Ça a toujours été, mais ça l'est actuellement aussi. J'ai écrit aussi des romans d'amour LGBT, voilà, des romans d'amour entre femmes et aussi avec des hommes, des trios un peu noirs, un peu thriller. Et voilà, et puis ma grande affaire, ça a été pendant 30 ans d'activer à Maya Speldoy chaque fois que j'avais un problème par rapport à la société dans laquelle je vis, pour tenter de donner une réponse ou pour tenter de donner ma vision par le biais d'Amaya Speldoy de la société dans laquelle je vis. La société basque, il va sentir.
Yes, of course. I started writing more scandalous novels that mixed religion, politics, and pornography. That was called Basilica, written in 1985, which doesn't age me at all. In that work, I kind of made fun of a lot of the economic development projects that often existed only in public speeches and that never came to be. I made fun of that. Otherwise, I've written on immigration that has occurred throughout France that comes from Africa, Spain, Iran, etc. Even Bayonne is an immigration path. It always was, but it is currently as well. I also write LGBTQ love novels, specifically novels about feminine love, but also between men, or even throuples. Novels that can consider noir detective or even thrillers. Of course, my biggest undertaking of over 30 years has been Amaya Speldoy. Every time I had a problem with the world and society around me, I tried to respond and give my viewpoint through Amaya Speldoy. Basque society in particular will surely relate to it.
Can you speak a bit more about the series now? How many works are a part of it? You spoke a bit about linguicide. Can you talk about that a bit more and any other themes that you touch upon through Amaya Speldoy?
En fait, il y a six romans, six gros romans en basque. Voilà, ça, le premier a commencé en 1993 et donc le dernier, c'était en 2021, hein, qu'on a publié. Donc presque 30 ans de commentaires, de digressions, voilà, Amaya Speldoy, dont son cerveau ne s'arrête jamais de commenter ce qu'elle voit, de donner son opinion, voilà, bon bref. Donc il y a cette période de 30 ans, et puis après il y a des petits romans qui sont plutôt des nouvelles, qui sont bilingues en général, c'est en basque et en français. Et puis il y en a quelques-uns qui sont, il y en a un en allemand, et un autre en catalan, et un autre en breton. Voilà, il y a ces langues. Donc je les ai écrits en français, puis quelqu'un d'autre les a traduits dans leur langue. Donc évidemment, ça se passe en Catalogne, ça se passe à Francfort, ça se passe à l'île d'Ouessant. Voilà, c'est un peu des cadeaux que j'ai fait aux lecteurs de ces endroits, des petits cadeaux comme ça. Souvent, j'étais en résidence et je devais écrire quelque chose et c'était ma façon de remercier les gens qui me recevaient en leur offrant une aventure d'Amaya Speldoy sur leur territoire. Voilà, c'est tout ça, Amaya Speldoy.
In fact, there are six novels, six thick novels written in Basque. The first starts in 1993 and the last one was finished in 2021. There are almost 30 years of commentary, digressions, and of Amira's thoughts that never stopped commenting on what she sees, giving her opinion on all of it. So there's this 30-year period. After, there are some smaller novels, more like novelas, that are bilingual in French and Basque. There are a few translations, one's in German, another in Catalan, and another in Breton. Oftentimes, I translated them into French, and then someone else put them into the other languages. Each story took place where the language was spoken, the other one Cataluna, the other one in Frankfurt, and the Breton on the island of Ouessant. They are like little gifts that I made to the readers of each place where I was often staying and wanted to write something. It was my way of thanking people for taking me in. I offered them one of my Amaya Speldoy adventures in their area.
Ceux qui sont bilingues, sont publiés aux éditions Mayat. Et d'ailleurs, il y a plusieurs éditions qu'on fait régulièrement. Et ceux qui sont en basque sont publiés aux éditions Choucha à Sarautz. Et puis, c'est des mini œuvres d'art parce que chaque des 6 romans ont un artiste qui ont illustré la couverture. Voilà. Donc, le dernier, c'est Ainara Azpiazu, qui est une illustratrice, une jeune illustratrice basque. Les autres, il y a eu Achisco Romaneta, il y a eu le groupe Ustaro de Moléon. Voilà. Donc, tout le monde a mis la main à la pâte pour faire des livres qui soient à la fois avec un contenu fort et puis une présentation visuelle forte aussi.
The bilingual ones are published with a publisher, Mat. The purely Basque ones are published with Choucha. Each novel is also a work of art because each of the 6 have a cover illustrated by an amazing artist. The last one was done by Anaria Azpiazu, who is a young Basque illustrator. To name some of the others, Shisku Romanati and the group Osaru from Morion. Everyone has chipped in to make these books that are as strong in the content as much as they are a visual presentation.
That's a very important thing to consider. If the content and the visual don't match, it can cause a lag between the two. How about we go into the novel and actually hear a bit of it? So in English, the title is Thanks to the Acid Rain. Could you give us the Basque title?
Euri sitalari esker.
Thank you so much. Before we get into the reading, can you just explain a little bit about the text itself and set up the excerpt for us?
Dans le dernier, bon, le dernier roman, oui. Ce sera le dernier de cette série. Amaya Speldoy revient déjà sur des épisodes d'autres romans qu'elle a éclaircis ou qu'elle n'a pas éclaircis. Donc, ce qu'on a traduit en français et en anglais. Elle raconte justement un de ses échecs. Et voilà, elle raconte un de ses échecs. Elle n'a pas réussi à éclaircir le suicide d'un paysan du Pays Basque. Voilà, il y a ça. Mais aussi en même temps, elle enquête sur un sujet qui lui tient à cœur. C'est la violence contre les femmes et la violence contre les enfants. Voilà, c'est une histoire très lourde qui est réelle. On voit des histoires de ce genre quasiment tous les jours dans nos journaux papier ou télévisés, des femmes qui sont maltraitées, qui sont violentées, qui sont emprisonnées, et des enfants aussi violentés, emprisonnés, maltraités.
In the last novel, and this will be the last of the series, Amaya Speldoy thinks back in her past detective work from the previous. Some of them she solved, others not so much. In this specific excerpt, we hear her talking about one of the cases she did not solve, the suicide of a Basque farmer in the Basque country. There is this, as well as an investigation that she leads that is really important to her, violence against women and children. It's a very heavy story and it's real. We see these types of stories almost every day in the newspapers or on TV. Women that are being treated poorly, abused, or that are imprisoned. The same happens to children.
Voilà, elle doit enquêter sur la demande de la maman d'une de ces femmes qui s'est mariée, grandement mariée, avec un séducteur, mais qui dès le lendemain va la mettre quasiment en prison dans le sous-sol de sa maison pendant 6 années, jusqu'au moment où elle réussit à s'échapper. Voilà, ça c'est la trame. Général, et pour ce dernier roman, Amaya Speldoy réussit à retrouver Maddy, qui est là, et à la remettre entre les mains de la maman, qui était, voilà, il y a tout ça. Après, il y a des histoires souterraines un peu par rapport à la langue, et ça, c'est dans tous les romans, il y a ce questionnement par rapport à la langue. Et il y a aussi un questionnement par rapport à la politique du Pays Basque, hein, par rapport aux 50 années de lutte armée avec le TA. Il y a tous ces questionnements. Et puis il y a les réponses que Amaya Speldoy donne qui ne sont pas forcément en adéquation avec les réponses du mouvement nationaliste. Voilà, il y a tout ça dans Maya Spendoy.
She must investigate a request by a mom of one of these women who was married to a real ladies' man, but who, basically, the day after her marriage, puts her in a prison in the basement of his house for 6 years when she finally is able to escape. That's the basic storyline. In the last novel, Amira manages to find Maddie to get her back to her mother. There are some underground stories as well that discuss language, which happens in almost all the novels, questioning about language. There's also a question about the politics of the Basque Country due to the last 50 years of the armed fight of the ETA, a Basque separatist movement. All these questions arise. Then, Amira Espelodi gives her opinion and answers that aren't necessarily aligned with the nationalist movement. All this happens in the series.
Et pendant 30 ans, elle a fait ces questionnements. Donc, il y a eu des romans qui ont été plus sur le domaine économique, économique de développement économique, d'usines qui déménagent la nuit, de Moléon et qui se retrouvent là-bas au Pakistan, des usines de chaussures. Il y a eu des histoires de mauvais mariages, de mariages qui se sont mal passés. Il y a eu des histoires avec l'armée américaine dans la base des Bardenaches. Voilà, il y a tout ce genre d'histoires qui se mélangent justement durant cette période de 30 ans. Et puis, il y a tout le côté, je pense que ça aussi, ça doit impacter les lecteurs et les lectrices. Il y a toutes les histoires d'amour, de cœur d'Amaya Espelodi. Voilà, elle a commencé avec dans le premier roman avec une histoire avec un Jimmy qui avait une Ferrari et de suite elle est tombée amoureuse de Joana Garralda, une femme extraordinaire je pense puisque elle va la rejoindre dans 30 ans après elle la rejoint pour aller vivre dans cette maison au-dessus de Tardets là-bas au fin fond de la montagne basque. Ouais, il y a tout ça qui joue en fait. J'aurais pu faire des romans qui ne parlent que de l'enquête, mais j'avais aussi envie en même temps d'utiliser ce personnage pour parler d'autre chose aussi en même temps. Voilà, de parler comme si c'était une globalité. Hein. Elle parle de quelque chose de global. Elle n'est pas qu'enquêtrice, elle est aussi une amoureuse. Elle est aussi elle fait partie de la politique, voilà, elle a tout en elle.
For the past 30 years, it's questioning society. There are some that focus on the economy and economic development, about factories that move in the night of the Moléon and then end up in Pakistan. Shoe factories, for example. Those are the stories about bad marriages or marriages that ended poorly. There's even a story about the American army and the Bardenas base. So there's everything that mixes together in the 30-year period. Something else that has to impact the readers are the stories of love. In the first novel, she starts out with a guy who has a Ferrari. Then she falls in love with Joana Garra, an extraordinary woman in my opinion, whom she met and joined in the end of those 30 years. She is set to retire with her and live at her house deep in the Basque Mountains. All this comes into play. I could have only written about these investigations, but I wanted to use its character to speak about something more global. She's not just an investigator. She is someone who loves and is someone involved in the political world. She is implicated in everything.
Maybe it's just my taste, but honestly, I prefer that type of detective fiction. If the characters aren't developed, you're missing out on a ton of the story. That makes me not want to continue a series, and it's basically just like I'm watching TV rather than reading, because more importance is being placed on the action. I actually just read a great noir novel from Denmark called The Chestnut Man, and it was so great because I had so many emotions for all of the characters. I even felt sorry for the person who committed the crimes due to the development that was put into his character throughout. Of course, his actions were awful, don't get me wrong, but the whole story said so much more than just, here's a crime and here's how it was solved. That's what makes it so interesting. So, let's hear an excerpt of your amazing final novel of the Amaya Espeldoy series.
Biotz elektronikoaren taupadak urirakinaren burbuilekin ezkontzen ziren ene belarrieta. Tangerine Dreamen melodiei esker. Memoria arrotzen zidaten. Negar malkoak materetan behera jaisten zitzaizkigun, zikin biltzeko azken turnea egin genuenean. Dederekin, zakarren ustel urina estimatzen ikasia nuen. Larruari lotzen zitzaion kontsumo gizarte gastatzailearena zen, jasan ezina, batzuetan sabelak inagosten zituena. Goitika bukatzen genuen eta elkarri besarka, sosegu bila. Joana Garraldak erosi etxean bederen, etzateken horrelakorik. Sukalde zapala zuen, leiotik Madalena tontora ageri zen, ezkaratz zabala eta hiru logela nahiko handi bazituen. Bakoitzak gurea edukitzeko eta lagunik bagenu baten bat asteburua gurekin pasatzerat gonbitatzeko. Errangabe zioan baratze bat ere bazegoela, sagarrondo umil baten aldamenean. Hor nintzen, aitzur eta jorra hariko, musika entzuteko eta liburu pornografikoak irakurtzeko partez. Baratzearekiko etxea ukanen nuenik ere, oinarrizko euskaldunaren betidaniko ametsa egiaztatuz. Eta ez nuen utxik egin behar. Bai, Joana, horan ezu? Noizko jinko zarade? Ez dakit, dagun hilabetian eman zagun. Zekamra eginen dit. Ederki, ederki, errepikatuz pausatu nuen. Telefonoaren besagia, eta hara. Erratzurat mudatzeko prestatzen ari nintzen. Kasko zokoa distira. Mugikorrean, bere hala astatu nituen Joanak igorri argazkiak. Estatu honean zen baserriaren gorputzaz, eta saietxeko baratzeaz gain, ogia erretzeko labea zehaztu nuen. Egoraren zat, aterpea zegoen lekoan. Maiteko nuen. Maiteko nuen ez Joanak utxunak apailatzen zidan bizimodua. Deus gabe, edo hain gutxirekin, bainan behar nuen guztiarekin. Funtsean zer zen behar nuena. Amodio apuraz, suaren berotasunaz eta eguzkiotzaren azkorrietako nir-nira estiaz aparte. Maria Merce Marsalen eta Marguerite Durazen obrak kartoi batera botan ituen. Xora eta Fargo filmak ondotik, enego gapen osoa bilbatzen zuten kanpoko irud. Disko gogorak, eta inkestetan noiztenka erabiltzen nuen argazki makina, numeriko erosoa. Bat batean, ene azkeneko ikerketaren karneta ikusi nuen. Dun eta Hiperion eleberrien artean. Ez nintzen unkitzerat ausartzen. Huts egin nuelako, otsabideko martiren buruaz beste egitearen arduradunak argira eta justiziarat ekartzeko betekizunean. Ez nuen lortu. Aitortzekoa nuen, zenbait egun lehenago preseski, Baionako merkatari karrika batean, martiren alarguna gorotzatu nuen. Beltzez besti, triste, alabaina, begitartea lurerat. Hurbildu nintzaion, agurtzeko, urras bat egin zuen gibelera. Ahurra ukatu zidan, baina malko artean, egun ona desiratu hala ere. Presatua zen arren, berri etxituak eman zizkidan. Ez da ize maldangora berri zupatzea badakizu? Ez, zuk ez dakizu. Lehen zailtasunarekin batera amore ematen duzulako. Markatu, eluen gaiztoa ezan nahi. Iez joan zait. Lasai, jardetxinion, ez toa xola. Oitura daukat. Inkestak ez ditut beti bururaino eramaten nahal. Egoera, botereak, sinesteak, usteak, bada beti zerbait kabitzen ez dena. Urrundu zen, jendea feratuen tartetik.
You just heard an excerpt reading of Thanks to the Acid Rain, read by Itziar Borda in Basque. Now you will hear the same excerpt read in English by me, the translator, from Itziar Borda's French translation. When I get to the Iratsu farm, no one will tell me how to live, what to think, how or to whom or with whom to speak, or even what topics to discuss. I will go back to speaking the Tsulutin dialect that I had learned 3 decades ago. In the depths of my solitude, when I played with the idea, a ray of light grabbed my neurons. I felt happy. Syntactical rules became falcons. The irony of sentences sliced like a sharpened knife, and the string of phonemes stepped on the paw prints of the bears of Saint-Engrasse. Joanna Giralda, my fiancée, used her own dialect from the Salazar Valley, paying tribute to the discernible diversity of the Basque language. Phaedra outtake number 2 started. I took Les Guerrières by Monique Wittig in my hands. This novel that I loved so much gave me the chills. I read it all the time as if I didn't have any other books. I appreciated the energy that emerged from its pages, the sting of the words, the calls for reclaiming, and this invigorating epic that opened little by little. As soon as I felt lost, I returned to this book, hoping that it would show me the right path. I was going to keep Proust, Dostoevsky, Wolfe, and Rambo. I'll find the rest on the internet, or even at the public library in Tarde. The versions of my books didn't have any valor, except sentimental. You could use them as fuel for a fire in the middle of winter if you really needed to. Truthfully, I didn't give much thought about all this during my investigations when I found myself in front of the monumental libraries of my clients. They had books bound in leather with the names of authors chiseled in golden letters. I didn't envy them, though. Not at all, actually. I won't have time to read Inarritu anyway. I was on unemployment when Joanna called to invite me to live with her. The street cleaning company in Bayonne sent all of us, Karim, Dede, and me, packing. Since we were all getting close to our 60s, we were old, incapable, and not well-liked by management. We were going to suffer, waiting for retirement. Since getting elected, President Macron has changed the rules to be able to collect unemployment. He had gotten rid of the taxes on the rich and their fortunes, and he reduced the duration of benefits for the neediest people. That's good justice. Two birds, one stone. Bravo, Manu. Improvement impossible. Thanks to Tangerine Dream's melodies, the heartbeat of the electronic music accompanied the sound of my future tea's boiling water. I remembered that Dede, Karim, and I had cried the last time we went around to collect the trash. We stoically tolerated the foul odor of consumer society's trash cans. The smells clung to our skin and made us want to vomit. We finished our vacations by vomiting in each other's arms, hoping to find some comfort. In Joanna Giralda's house, at least I would be far from all this. You can see the summit of the Madeleine from her kitchen. There is also a large entryway and 3 large bedrooms. Each one of us would have our own room, and we could have friends over for a weekend if we still had any. It goes without saying that there is a garden with a small apple tree planted alongside the western hedges. That's where I'll go to dig and work instead of listening to music or reading pornographic literature. I will also have a house with a garden. I will achieve the lifelong dream of the average Basque. I won't mess this up. Yes, Joanna, I'm going to come.
When will you get here?
I don't know, next month, let's say. I'll get your room ready. I put down my phone and repeated, great, great, just like that. I was getting ready energetically for my move to Arratsu. I look at the photos that Joanna sent me on my cell phone again. The farm was in overall good shape. In addition to the garden, there was an oven to bake bread and a woodshed. I was going to love it there, of course. I was going to love the life that my dear Joanna prepared for me. It would be a simple life, or at least one without more than everything that I would need. What did I need deep down inside outside of a bit of love, a warm home, and the cold sunlight of the morning? I tossed the works of Maria Mercé Marcel and Marguerite Duras in a box along with the Zora and Fargo DVDs, 3 external hard drives that held all my memories, and the camera that I used during my investigations. Suddenly, between Dune and Hyperion, I saw the black notebook for my last investigation. I didn't dare pick it up, because I'd failed my duty to bring the people responsible for Martin Dotsabid's suicide to justice. I was washed up. I should have just confessed to it myself. Exactly a few days ago on a street in Bayonne, I walked past Martin's widow who was dressed in black, crushed by deep sadness and staring at the ground. I approached her to say hello. She took a step back. She refused to take my hand, and while sobbing, she wished me a good day. She was busy. But she gave me some exciting news anyway. It's not easy to get back on your feet, you know. No, you don't know, because you run away at the first sign of problem. Sorry. I don't want to be mean, it slipped out. Don't worry about it, I tell her. It's not a big deal. I'm used to it. I don't always get to finish my investigations because there's often something that doesn't add up. Beliefs, suspicions, power games, or even intrinsic conditions can block. She melted into the bustling crowd. I followed the curved line of this collapsed life with my eyes until she completely disappeared. Everything related to Martin's suicide suddenly rushes back. A few years back, his story and his cheese production cooperative, Gatsakoop, whose launch he funded, started off fine. The farmers of the region gathered to better produce and sell their sheep's milk. The shareholders of the project had built an enormous building, the desert domain of Basagaitz. They hired employees and a director who they paid the same wage as bosses in the private sector. Gatsakoop was the model of economic development for the press and Basque society. They conducted an aggressive sales policy. The farmers went from store to store selling their cheeses, butters, and different dairy products to clients in the various towns. But after some time, depending on the rumors, we learned that Gatsakoop was a money pit, that it was close to going bankrupt, and that the legally responsible parties were the cooperative farmers themselves. Like the images of ancient biblical paradise, the serpent was biting its own tail. So thank you so much again, Itxaro, for that amazing reading in Basque. Once again, that was an excerpt of Thanks to the Acid Rain, written originally in Basque by Itxaro Borda and translated into English by me, Clayton McKee, from the author's French translation. You've rightfully said that Amaya gives her observations on everything, and it's true even in this short excerpt. Even when she's talking about the countryside or packing her boxes, she has a ton of things to say about the authors, the things that she's putting away, the life that she imagines. Are there any other things in Amaya's character that are very important, whether tied to the investigations or her life? Anything that extends beyond the observations? Any character flaws or any other aspects to her?
Oui, un des défauts, c'est ce bavardage silencieux qu'elle a dans la tête, en fait. Je pense que ça, c'est une qualité, mais c'est aussi un défaut. Hein, c'est aussi un défaut parce que elle ne s'arrête jamais de penser. Hein, c'est comme une machine, en fait, pour penser et dépenser. Après, l'autre côté, c'est un personnage très pyrénéen, en fait. Elle va jusqu'au bout de tout. Voilà. Même si elle réussit pas, elle va jusqu'au bout. Elle est dure comme le roc. Elle est dure comme le granit. C'est quelqu'un qui ramasse des coups, autant sentimentaux que politiques, et y compris dans ses enquêtes. Mais quand même, elle passe au-dessus de ça. Elle va surmonter ses douleurs, ses peines, ses déceptions, pour aller trouver autre chose encore plus loin et pour finalement résoudre certaines enquêtes qui sont pas tout le temps faciles, parce que c'est quand même des enquêtes un peu tarabiscotées, on sait pas toujours où ça va, avec qui elle est, voilà, il y a plein de voilà, mais elle va toujours aller ici dans les Pyrénées, on dit Caburut, Cachecogogor, tête dure, voilà. Et donc, elle est complètement dans son écosystème pyrénéen. Elle le sait d'ailleurs.
There are some faults. In fact, one of them is the silent chatting that she does in her head. It's a positive, but it's also a fault because she never stops thinking. It's like a machine of thinking and exertion. The other side is that she is a very Pyrenees character. She sees everything to an end. Even if she doesn't succeed, she takes it to the end of it and is stubborn, as hard as a rock or granite. She collects blows, as many, beyond it all. She overcomes the pain of her problems and her deceptions to find something further, and to, in the end, solve investigations that aren't always easy. The investigations are a bit loose. We don't always know where they're going and how she's going to do it. In any case, she always goes with her stubborn head, and she charges into the Pyrenees landscape. She knows this about herself, though.
It's always good to know how you truly are and act. In this part, we see an Amaya that is reflecting on her failed case with the widow and the cheese farms. As you just mentioned, we see that she doesn't like to fail and that she takes everything to the end. I'm curious, though, during these 30 years, were there any changes in her character? How has she evolved?
Et en fait, au début, à la première enquête, elle était très enquête. Il y avait un peu de digression, mais elle était très focalisée sur l'enquête. Petit à petit, elle s'est libérée. Et puis, Il est arrivé en 2007 quelque chose d'important dans sa vie. Elle a été obligée de faire son coming out. En plein roman qui s'appelle Sors sur la place. Sors de ta maison. Voilà. Yalgia di Plasara. Donc elle a été obligée. Parce que, voilà. En fait, il y a ça qui a complètement changé. Ce qu'elle dit, ce qu'elle raconte là, ça a complètement changé aussi son environnement, des amis, de ses relations, tout a changé, du tout au tout, et elle s'est retrouvée avec d'autres amis, d'autres réalités, Amaya Speldoy, dans ce roman-là, elle mettait en place un monde basque que je rêvais, dont je rêvais à l'époque, un monde basque queer, hein, qui n'était pas, à l'époque ça l'était pas. Bon, maintenant, presque 20 ans après, ça a changé ici aussi. Hein. Mais à cette époque-là, c'était comme Amaya Speldoy mettait en place ce rêve-là de l'auteur de ce monde un peu ouvert, queer, en fait queer, voilà.
Actually, in the beginning, she was very investigative-oriented. There were small digressions at times, but overall, she was very focused. Little by little, she freed herself. Then in 2007, something very important happened. She was forced to have her coming out. In the middle of the novel, titled in translation as Sors, sur la place, or Sors de la maison, she was obligated to. And what she tells there, it completely changed her environment. Her friends, her relationship, everything changed. She ended up with new friends, new realities. It was actually Amaya who in the novel put forward a Basque world that I had only dreamed about at a time. A Basque world that didn't exist. Now, almost 20 years later, it has changed. But at this time, it was Amaya Espeldi was putting into place this dream of the author of more of an open world.
Et donc il y a tout ça, et puis elle est devenue très décroissante aussi. En fait, elle accepte de vivre avec très peu. Elle a perdu toute son attirance un peu pour le bling bling de la société de consommation qu'elle avait dans les premiers romans. Bon, tout est parti. En fait, ce qu'elle a fait, elle s'est adaptée à l'évolution du monde qui l'entoure. Voilà. Elle s'est appauvrie, mais en s'appauvrissant, elle s'est enrichie en même temps. Et puis, elle accepte son homosexualité comme un drapeau maintenant. Et on voit dans le dernier roman des choses que peut-être on ne voit pas dans d'autres romans. On voit deux femmes âgées qui font l'amour. Et voilà. Parce qu'elles ont. Amaya Speldoy a dans les 60 ans et Joana Garralda autant. Hein. Donc tout ça, c'est un peu pour normaliser tout ce qu'on vit aussi pour les raconter. Puis elle fait œuvre de pédagogie aussi d'une certaine façon parce qu'elle apporte sa vie en fait. Certains me demandent si c'est ma vie. Je dirais, d'une part, c'est ma vie, mais c'est quand même, elle va beaucoup plus loin que moi dans certaines choses, autant politiquement que sur le plan de l'homosexualité aussi. Elle est plus téméraire que moi, à vrai dire.
That all happened. Then she became, how do I say, the growthist or minimalist as well. She decided to live with very little. She lost all her interest in consumer culture that she had in the first few novels. So everything went away. She adapted and evolved from the world that surrounded her. Like that, she became poorer with simultaneously becoming richer. She accepts her homosexuality and wears it like a flag. In the last novel, we see some things that weren't imaginable before. We see two older women making love. Amaya Espeldi is about 60 years old, and Dana as well. So it's to normalize it all, everything that we live and everything that we see. But she goes much further than I do for certain things, especially politically and related to LGBTQ rights. She's much more daring than I am, to be honest.
I think that reflects something pretty common. Many authors talk about that. Even me, when I write, I allow my characters to dare and say things that I wouldn't dream about. And exactly, it's super important representation.
Mais en fait, on a besoin du personnage qui fait, qui ose faire ce que nous, on n'ose pas faire.
I completely understand. In fact, we need the characters that dare to do it, what we don't.
Mais,
parce que pour les lecteurs, ça fonctionne de la même façon. Des choses qu'il n'ose pas faire ou il n'ose pas dire, il peut les lire. Et c'est pour ça que Amaia Speldoy est si importante dans la littérature basque. C'est que beaucoup, pour la première fois, ont lu des relations lesbiennes en basque dans ces romans-là.
For us and for readers, because for readers, it works the same. The characters do and say what they don't. They can read it and think. That's why it is so important for Basque literature. Many of the first-time read and about lesbian relationships and Basque in these novels.
Before Amaia had her coming out, were there any clues in the novels? Or was it completely hidden that she's a lesbian?
Non, non, il y avait des indices. Oui, bien sûr.
Il y avait des indices.
Oui, oui, parce que le roman agissait un peu comme une intimité. Donc le personnage se sentait libre dans le cadre du roman. Donc oui, il y avait des indices, il y avait toutes ses amours. Voilà, il y avait plein de genres. Mais le mot lesbienne n'était jamais prononcé. Voilà, c'est un peu ce qui s'est passé aussi dans la littérature française. Et c'est ce qui se passe encore, hein. Le mot, tout le monde a du mal à l'écrire et à le prononcer. Hein. Mais pas Amaia Speldoy. Enfin, depuis 2007.
No, there were clues. Of course there were. Because the novels talk about intimacy. So the character felt more free in the novel to explain about her loves. There are a lot of these types of relationships, but the word lesbian was never uttered. That's a bit of what happened in French literature as well. That's kind of still what happens. Everyone has trouble writing and saying the word, but not Amaia Speldoy, since 2007, of course.
It's also great because for readers, they can experience a bit of what she is living. In fact, it's super important to see that train of thought and the thinking of the person. The fact that she needed to accept herself before she could say it is a process that most people aren't privileged to see. So all of that is so amazing. Besides the fact that the novels are in Basque language and take place, besides the fact that these novels are in Basque and take place in Basque country for the most part, how is your writing Basque? Maybe in, for example, references. If I remember correctly from the excerpt, there's the mention of the Saint Etienne Bear and various mountains and landscapes. What is something very Basque or regional about your writing?
Oui, 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 oui. Elle est tout le temps, chargée de références. Oui, bien sûr. Oui, oui. Référence basque, bien sûr. Elle a une grande culture basque. C'est-à-dire qu'elle connaît les chants, les Bertsulari, ce qui a été écrit avant, ce qui a été écrit depuis 1545. Voilà, elle a une grande connaissance de ça. Elle lit beaucoup les journaux, donc elle a une connaissance aussi de ce qui s'écrit dans l'immédiat, les journaux en basque, qu'elle lit dans le dernier roman, elle les lit online. Hein, techniquement aussi, elle est toujours un peu geek. Voilà, donc il y a tout ce background, je dirais, en utilisant un mot anglophone. Et après, il y a sa passion pour les séries américaines, il y a la littérature américaine, les films américains, parce que très souvent, pour Amaia Speldoy, le Pays Basque, puisqu'elle fait des enquêtes Pays Basque Sud et Pays Basque Nord, elle considère ça comme l'Amérique.
My writing is always Basque and filled with a lot of references. It's been influenced by the huge Basque culture, which is to say, songs that were written since 1545. There's also a lot of references to newspapers and writings about news and things that are unfolding now. Basque newspapers are actually read by Amaia in the last novel. She's a bit of a nerd. Outside of that, Amaia has a passion for American TV shows, American literature, American films, the whole thing. Because she investigates all across Basque country, the South and the North, she considers it to be like America.
Pour nous, Basque, l'Amérique, c'est quelque chose de très important. Parce que c'est quasiment la huitième province. Parce qu'il y a beaucoup de Basques qui ont migré aux États-Unis, qui vivent principalement, ils vivent dans l'Ouest. Donc on a tous une part d'Amérique dans nos têtes. Et avec Amaya Speldoy, cette Amérique-là, au lieu d'être sur l'autre continent, de l'autre côté de l'Atlantique, c'est justement au Pays Basque. Et comme pour beaucoup de Basques, pour moi aussi, l'Amérique, c'est avec tout ce qui se passe de négatif et tout ça, c'est quand même le pays où des grands espaces et de la liberté d'être dans ces grands espaces. Et voilà. Après, je sais qu'il y a beaucoup de problèmes par ailleurs, il y a tout ça, mais quand même, quand on dit Amérique, Américac, c'est justement ce grand espace qui s'ouvre principalement de la côte ouest, en fait, de la Californie. Et voilà. On est un peu des Californiens aussi du Pays Basque. Et Amaya Speldoy encore plus. Parce qu'elle a des références comme Fargo, hein, la série et le film, Laura Palmer de David Lynch aussi. Elle a des références un peu bizarres, mais elle a ce genre de références, ouais, qu'elle applique au Pays Basque. Voilà, qu'elle intègre. Parce que nous, notre langue, elle a toujours intégré la culture des autres, les mots des autres. Et c'est comme ça qu'on a survécu. Hein. Et c'est comme ça qu'on survivra. Voilà. Et Amaya Speldoy a fait la même chose avec la culture des autres.
For the Basque America, it's very important because it's basically like the eight provinces of Basque country, since there are a ton of Basque immigrants who now live in the United States, primarily in the West. So all of us have America in our heads, an America that is here rather than on the other side of the Atlantic on another continent. It is Basque country. For me as well, America is associated with a lot of negative things. Yet, it is also a country known for wide open spaces, with people being free in those spaces. I know there is a ton of problems, but I think more about the open spaces and freedoms, once again, mainly on the West Coast in California. We are kind of the Californian in the Basque country. There are even more references with things like Fargo, the series and the film, Laura Palmer and David Lynch. Amaya has some strange references, but it's the type of reference that she then applies to the Basque country. She integrates it to her own language, and she always integrates other cultures and languages. That's how we survive, and that's how we will keep going.
I didn't know that there was such a connection in the Basque mentality to the West Coast of the United States. That's really interesting and places a bit of a different perspective, I would say, for me in the time that I spent in California. I do have one last question for you. What's in store for you? Whether it's something that's personal or something as an author, what do you have as a project for the future? And also, one last extremely important question. Will Amaya Speldoy actually be taking her retirement?
Oui, je crois qu'elle va prendre sa retraite, oui, oui. Elle va prendre sa retraite. D'une part parce que l'auteur d'Amaya Speldoy a envie d'écrire autre chose. Voilà. Peut-être des romans à l'eau de rose, qui sait. On ne sait jamais. C'est ce qui manque au Pays Basque. Il manque cette façon d'écrire des romans à l'eau de rose. Je t'aime, tu m'aimes, moi non plus. Voilà. Bon, bref, ce genre de roman qui permettrait à beaucoup de monde de pouvoir lire en langue basque sans se poser trop de questions aussi. Parce que quand on lit Amaya Speldoy, on se pose quand même pas mal de questions. Voilà, ouais, c'est quand même une lecture, c'est une traversée. Ouais, chaque roman, ça a été une traversée d'une thématique, d'un questionnement, etc. Mais voilà, moi j'espère un jour pouvoir faire des romans à l'eau de rose. Voilà, tout simple. Et voilà ça. Et puis là, je suis en train de finaliser un recueil de poèmes en basque, qui sera sûrement publié l'an prochain, aux mêmes éditions que la série Amaya Speldoy, aux éditions Choucha à Sarautz. Voilà, je suis en train de finaliser ça. Puis je vais au cinéma et je vais courir et j'écris des articles Je fais des réunions de temps en temps, littéraires. Voilà, c'est un peu ma vie depuis que moi-même je suis à la retraite.
Yes, I think that she is actually going to retire. Partly because her author wants to write other things. Maybe romance novels. Who knows? I never know. That's what the Basque Country is missing. It's this way of writing romance novels. I love you, you love me neither. It's this type of novel that would allow a lot of people to be able to read in Basque language without asking too many questions, because when we read Amia Esperaldi, we ask a lot of questions. It's not a casual read. It's an experience. Every novel is an experience and a theme, an encounter with a questioning. But in any case, I hope to write romance novels. Right this moment, I'm finishing a poetry collection written in Basque that will be published hopefully soon with the same publisher as the Amia Esperaldi series. I'm finalizing that. I'm also going in a cinema a lot. I'm running and I'm writing articles. I also have literary meetings from time to time. That's a bit of my life now that I'm retired.
I am so happy to hear that you're enjoying your free time and that you're still keeping up with all of these projects. So I can't wait to see what does happen with your writing, whether it's in French or in Basque. And it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today, and I can't wait to see what comes next.
Oui, merci. Merci à vous. C'était un plaisir aussi. Et c'était un plaisir de vous voir de visu. Voilà, en live.
Of course, of course. Thanks so much. It's truly a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Traffic Europe Radio. This is the last episode tied to our previous issue, January 2024, of Traffic Europe, Essential New Literature of Lesser Known Languages of Europe. You've been listening to me, Clayton McKee, speak with Basque author Itziara Borda about her work on her Amaya Espaldoy detective series. Next week, we will be getting into our newest issue of Traffic in Europe, Recrudescence, published since April 12th, online at www.trafficeurope.org/recrudescence. Thank you so much for supporting Traffic in Europe by listening to this episode. We appreciate any other support you may be able to give, whether that's on our GoFundMe page, our Patreon page for memberships, or just liking, sharing, and commenting on our podcast and our social media post. If you have any thoughts on how Traffic in Europe can improve, we would love to hear from you. You can email editor@trafficeurope.org. The last announcement I have for this week is that we are now accepting submissions for Traffic in Europe's next issue for summer 2024 with the theme of Gothic Revival. If you're working on a translation or you're from Europe and working on creative stories that could be related to anything Gothic, the sublime, nature and its dominance, horror, anything that could be tied to Gothic literature of the past and how it can be repurposed in the present, we would love to hear from you. You can go to www.trafficeurope.org/submissions to find out more about our submissions process. We really look forward to reading your work. Thank you and have a great day.